You came to UK on this business. At the time you came, we were thinking we are retiring. We enjoy our lives. And I said, it should be like that. My wife asked me, oh, whether we should go to a local church? And at that time I said, no! Definitely not! My English is not good. And I don't want to spend time to learn another language. I go to a Catholic church, okay. I continue to serve, okay. But local church, no. But God has an amazing plan. Yeah. God has an amazing plan. I haven't thought I had a chance to preach in English. This is my first time. I've preached in English. So God is so wonderful. We just have to obey, obedient, and He has an amazing plan for every one of you. This morning, if you are expecting a very wonderful message, touching message, striking message, I will step down. I will let you get to speak. Or Roy, or Joanna. I try my best. I really try my best. I pray to God. Lord, please help me. I'm nothing. I have no wisdom. I pray to God, please give me this, the gift of tongue. You know the gift of tongue? My gift of tongue is English. Please, help me. So, thanks God. No matter what, I hope this coming 35 minutes or 40 minutes, you can hear the words from the Lord, from God, not from Wilson. You know, very amazing. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, every Wednesday morning we have, not every Wednesday morning, but 12 Wednesday morning we have an intercession prayer meeting. At that time, I'm still struggling whether I should come. Anyway, I came with my wife, with obedient heart, and pray. And during the time, a sister, Marjorie, read a passage. This is in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And there's a verse it said. At that time, I still worried because 3 weeks ago, I'm still worried. You know, I stopped the word for today. You know, I have to preach in English. How come? I asked. And I said to Inga, please let me speak in Cantonese. You know, it's much, much better for me to speak in Cantonese. But he said, no, no. So I start worrying 3 or 4 weeks ago. At that moment, when the sister read the passage, there's a verse he said, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. Wow. I'm relaxed. Even I speak something you don't understand. Okay. So I pray to God, the Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. And you may have a gift to understand my English. Okay. Alright. This morning I am going to share with you 2 very big topics. Is that alright? The purification and deliverance. These are 2 big topics. When I'm preparing, I think I have to spend maybe more than 1 hour to cover all my slides. Because it's two big topics. I'll try to stream it. If I do not have enough time, maybe come next time. I don't know when. I'll speed the part 2. Alright? So, let me ask you a question first. Have you done anything wrong in past week? If you haven't done anything wrong in past week, raise your hand. you haven't, if you haven't, okay, if you haven't done anything wrong in past few years ahead, alright, then this question, you've done anything wrong in past week? Raise your hand. Oh, almost everyone. Okay, do you do something wrong or you can commit sin occasionally, sometimes? Raise your hand. Oh, everyone. So, are you holy? Are you perfectly clean in God? Yes. I'm hesitant to say. Please lie, please. We'll be talking about pure. Pure, you know, I look it up in the dictionary. It's clean. It's spotless. It's uncontaminated. It's not mixed with anything. It's pure. It's holy. A pure life is perfect, blameless, free of guilt. In biblical terms, it's holy. So, can you answer my question again? Are you holy? Perfectly clean? Some say yes. Some hesitate. Actually, you are far, far, far from holy, aren't we? Okay, we look in the mirror. I looked in the past week. Oh, I've done so many wrongs. I've done so many wrongs. How can I be holy? Next slide. God is holy. In Hebrew it says, without holiness, no one can will see the Lord. No one can come forth the Lord. Facing people yell at him. Oh no. If we look at ourselves, I have no face. In Canada, no face. I'm so shy. I can't come forth the Lord. But it's like this. Oh. This is very important. Then are you saved? You are saved?
Yes.
Are you saved? Please raise your hand. You are sure you are saved?
Yes.
Yes. We are saved. We are saved. You know, because purification is a done deal.
Yes.
It's already done. Let's read this scripture in Hebrews 1:3. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And also in Revelation, to him who loves us, and to him who loves us has freed us from our sins by his blood. You see, God has done amazing things in our life. You know, every time I think about this topic, every time I look in the mirror, every time I look at my life, I fall spots. I'm not worthy. I'm so weak. But at the moment we accept Christ, three miracles happen. One is the cleansing, the purification. At the time we accept Christ, Jesus died for us, his blood shed for us, his blood cleansed all my sins. Before, today, and future. All my sins are cleansed. And I'm justified. And I'm reborn in the Holy Spirit. This is the miracle things God does for us. At the time we accept Christ, we confess our sins. And his blood has super power. And his blood is so amazing. He is Jesus. So this is a done deal. But it's also an ongoing process. Can you please next slide? We have an identity. Pure and holy is our identity. We have become a new being in Christ. I'm not sure how to say it in English, but in Chinese it's Sengi Sanfan. We have this identity.
Sanctified.
Right. We have this life. Jesus' life in us. His blood has washed all our sins. We are perfectly clean in God's mind. But in our daily life, we are still in flesh. We are still weak. We are still in this world. We are still in the flesh. We are just like a rust iron. You know, when the iron gets close to the man, what happens? And we attract it to the man. Just like us, we are still in the flesh. On earth, we have long ways. We are like a rust iron. And crime and Satan is everywhere. It's just tempting. So, here it says, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sins.
Amen.
So, we have this identity, but we have to grow our life. We have to experience the purification process. This is a lifelong process. In our journey, we have to walk with Jesus, experience the cleansing power of his blessing every day. We have this identity, but we have to grow out our life. So this is amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Every time when I worship God, I close my eyes. I always have, I'm not worthy. The Lord, you know, during the worship, in my mind, I saw Jesus. He extended his arm to me. It's so lovely. I'm so touched. Now, every time we worship God, we come close to God.
Yeah.
We are not phoning. We are not making IDD call to God. We are coming from face to face.
Yes.
So just the hymn we sang first, we are not playing church. We want real encounter. If you are not saved, how can you have real encounter? Because we are saved. We can experience the real encounter with God.
Yes.
Every time we confess our sins, confess our weakness, we believe in the power of Jesus' blood, we can come close to Jesus, face to face. And He, our Lord, just throw His arm open to us. You know, every time I worship, I'm just so touched by this image. I'm so weak. I have many wrongs. I'm not worthy to be his son, but in God's eyes, I'm perfect. Can you say I'm perfect? I am perfect in God. So good, yes, so good. But throughout the journey, the life journey, God knows our weakness. He helps us. He helps us to overcome all our weakness. Bad things, and from our life we have experienced the cleansing power. And it's so touching. You know, every time we sin, we've done something wrong, and we confess, and every time you will experience the love. You will experience the love of Jesus flowing from your inside.
Yeah.
And his forgiveness is complete, perfect. And it made me cry every time. You know, I've done many things wrong to my wife. I feel so bad. She forgave me, and Jesus forgave me. So this is so amazing. So that's one thing I want to share with you. I'm not just preaching. I'm just sharing with you how I feel. When we are talking about holy, the purification, I'm not holy. I'm not holy. But covered by Jesus' blood, I am holy. I'm holy. This is my identity. We will never change. Next slide, please. So, God has beautiful plan for us. He knows we are sinners. He saved us. And He freed us. And He made us holy. And He has beautiful plan for every one of us. This is a list of things, you know. This was done by Inca. Actually, coffee is beautiful things. God called us free and holy to be his own people. You know, throughout all the scriptures, throughout the Bibles, God said many times, you are my own. You are my own. You are my treasured possession. This is so touching. You know, to serve Him, we are His servant in the scripture, it says, because God is a mighty God. We are His servant. He wants us. When He called Israel from Egypt, bring them into the promised land.
Yes.
He saved His people. He saved His people to serve Him. So I submit myself to the Lord. 2 years ago, I didn't want to join English church. But 8 months ago, maybe, in December 2021, yes, November, the first time I came to this church. At that time, I remember Yinka welcomed us, and I challenged him.
Really?
And I challenged him, really? You welcome Hong Kong people? Or just lip service? But from then on, I kept coming. And I experienced a lot of love from brothers, sisters, Roy, Mabel, Jen, and God just bring us together in this place to worship. So I submit to Him. I would like to be, I want to be your faithful servant.
Amen.
So every one of you, God has an amazing plan for you.
Amen.
Amazing plan for you. Just submissive to Him, obedient to Him. Whatever the Holy Spirit helps you, you respond. You are pure. You are holy. And He is a plan for you. He's a plan for you to serve Him, to be in this church. So, let's read this verse, okay? And the God of grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with Himself, restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You know, at the end, God calls to His glory. You know, to serve Him. He said He called you to His eternal glory. Just like in Israel, in Israel history, the people, God brought Israel out of Egypt in Exodus to the promised land. This is a symbolic representation. He called out His people to promised land. This land is the glory, just like in the New Testament. We are His own people. He called us out from this world. Though we experience a lot of sufferings, but at the end, He will restore us. And He will make us strong. And He will make us firm and steadfast. And into His glory. So this is so, so amazing. It's nice, please. So it's our honor and privilege to serve our God. You know, we do not serve, we do not deserve. God is holy, God is nothing unclean can come before God. Nothing unclean can be used to serve God. But we are His royal prince. We are a holy nation. It's so wonderful. Yeah. When I think about the Old Testament, the priests, Aaron and his sons, you know, every time they serve, what they have to do, they have to consecrate themselves. They have to wash hands, they have to wash feet before they can go into the tent to serve God. And everything inside the tent, or anything related to the tent, the tabernacle, must be clean, must be holy. And they would use the blood of the sacrifice, the sprinkles, offer the things, so that they become holy and clean. Then they can go forth into the tent to serve God. Now, today, we can go forth. We can come face to face to God. Face to face to God. We are clean. We are holy. Jesus was sprinkled over us. Then we can come forth to God to serve. This is beautiful. This is just beautiful. I would say it's our honor, it's our privilege to serve our God. You know, nothing unclean, nothing unholy can come forth to God. And now you and me have no suppression, no what? No barrier. The curtain. You know what I mean? The curtain. 七星窗，幕已经裂开。 The bell. The bell, okay. You know, I'm sweating. The bell is broken and we can go forth into the most holy place to serve God. I feel so privileged. I'm so feel honored. I hope you so feel the same way as I feel. You know, we are the chosen people. We are the royal priests. We are the holy nations. Only you and me are the royal kings. Only you and me are the holy nation. Only you and me can serve God. Only you and me can come forth to Lord so close to serve Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, next slide. Let me share you a story which touched me so much. Maybe 35 years ago, I just became Christian, maybe 3 years or 4 years. I heard a preacher and he shared his story. He's a missionary. You know, at that time, Hong Kong missionary often go to China to get the British gospel. And at that time, China is very quite poor, primitive, not well developed. And also a lot of constraints. You have to be very careful if you want to preach in China. And so most of the missionaries will go to remote areas to share the gospels and village. And this missionary went to a place, I forgot where it is. And he said, oh, everything is so primitive, the buildings are old, dirty, and even no toilet. Okay? Do you know what it is? You know, this is a beautiful toilet. This is a beautiful toilet compared to that time. One day, the brother had to go to the toilet. Okay? He went in the toilet. You know, the toilet is so messy. Okay, this story is quite a little bit disturbing, right? Quite messy. You know, no door, just a planks of wood and like fence, okay? Of course, no. What's that? I don't know how to say. No sanitation. You cannot sit. Anyway. You know, it's so dirty, smelly, those things, okay? When he got into it, of course he saw something, right? But he got an inspiration. He said, wow, Jesus is a holy God. He is a totally perfect. But Jesus, He loves us. He descends from heaven and becomes flesh. We are like mess. You know, Jesus descends from heaven, put on the flesh, and He descends to this corruption, rotten, smelly, dirty, ugly, filthy. Is it filthy? Filthy world. God loves us so much. He put on the earthly flesh to cover his holiness, kind of holiness, and kind of world. You know, he's holy. How can he come to this messy world? That preacher, that brother was so touched. You know, we are just like a worm in the messy things. But Jesus, the holy God, he loves us so much. He descended himself from heaven and came down to the world and become a man. To get close to us, search us, approach us, and touch us, and save us. And this story touched me so much. We are not anything good. We are just like the worm in that mess. But Jesus loved me so much, and he came to me, put on the glory of flesh, and touched me, and hold me. So I just feel, wow, this is amazing love. This is beyond my imaginations. Every time I think about this story, I just fell on my knees and worship God. Oh God, you are so, so awesome. Jesus, you are holy. You love me to an extent you put on flesh and come to me and save me. And now, and you live in me. And you live in you. And he will never leave you and never forsake you. Even we were weak, we fall short of glory a lot. Anytime we repent, anytime we turn our face, turn to him and ask forgiveness. And anytime, and he will forgive. And his forgiveness instantly forgive. That's so amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Okay. Next, please. So, Jesus, our Savior, he gave us the holiness. This defined holiness is our identity, and it's also a lifelong defining process. This identity is never, it's like the DNA in us, okay? So it's like the relationship with my son and daughter. My son and daughter has my DNA, and we have the DNA of God, and this never changed. But God will refine us. You purify us throughout the process. You sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. He will purify the device and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. God knows us so well. He knows Stephen. He knows Christina. He knows Sarah. He knows what's wrong with us. But he will not abandon us. He will refine us. One time, two times, three times, 1,000 times. Until we are pure, you know, in the process, in the purification process. So, I much hope the Lord can reveal himself to you. How he loves you. I much hope, I pray to God that you are not listening to Lucifer. You are listening to God. I hope our relationship with God is fresh. Not in our head, it's in your heart. You have a stronger, a more intimate relationship with God. Because this message, this is also amazing. He do the purification. He makes us holy. And this is extraordinary things in my life. And I really hope you will feel the same thing. Aye. Next. Okay, maybe I don't have enough time to cover all the deliverance. I will make, huh? I got 20 minutes? Oh, really? Okay, let's do it. Then I will go finish it. Deliverance in the Oxford Dictionary says the state of being rescued from danger, from evil, or from pain. In Bible, it means rescue from danger. It relieves from captivity, slavery, oppression, or any distress. The deliverance is the act of God. He rescues his people from peril, free his people from bondage. Hallelujah. Yeah. God is deliverer. Next, please. Next slide, please. We always said the book, Bible is a book of love. When I look it up in King James Version and look it up in the website, you know, the deliverance, this word of related words, appears 625 times. And the love, this word is related, it appears 524 times. Even more than the word love. So, the book, the Bible is a book of love, and it's also a book of deliverance. It's full of story of deliverance to his people. God loves us. We were sinners. We were captured in sin. And we have no future. We are miserable. We are dirty, we are slaves, but we are God's creation. So God deliver us. Do everything to deliver us. So this book is, this title is a book of deliverance. Next slide, please. Deliverance for God's people. So this is a very striking example of why God delivers. Because God delivered his own people. You know, when in Exodus it says, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, at that time Israelites were captives in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years. And the Pharaoh put a lot of, you know, pressure and make them slaves and do hard work. This is God's people. And they cry to God. And God listened to them. God is timing. After 400 years, Jesus, and the God, used Moses to deliver his own people out of Egypt. And in the Old Testament, it always said that the Israelites, the Jews, are the treasure possession of God. Treasure possession of God. Because God loved his people so much. When they were in very bad situations, God would never give up. Would not leave the people there for long. He will train them to have a time of salvation for them. Deliverance is for God's people. So, next slide, please. God is the deliverer for his own people. And God made deliverance for the broken heart. You know, deliverance is not deserved. Deliverance is a gift of grace. Because when God sees his people's suffering, God's so hurt. God's so hurt. So even when we are in some situations, health situation, work situation, marriage situations, we kind in sufferings. God knows. God, he totally understand our situations. And he feels compassion for our afflictions. He will get close to the broken heart. He said, Lord, the psalm is that the Lord is close to the broken heart and save those who are crushed in spirit. If we are in a situation, we are so sad, we are like a broken heart. God knows the situation. And He will come close to us. Just like Jesus. This is not Jesus. He has sent me to heal the broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives. So if we are in that situation, just cry out to God. Pray to God and trust Him, and He will deliver us. This is His promise. He will close to the broken heart people, to the people who are crushed in spirit. Second, the deliverance is for, next slide please. Deliverance, the promise to those who call upon Him. Have you ever counted how many promises is in the Bible? 英文手过来,英文有没有英文? Have you counted how many promises in the Bible? You know, there's a person, a brother in Canada, back maybe 50 years ago. He spent 1.5 years to count how many promises in the Bible. And he published it in the Times magazine at that time. There were 8,810 promises. And out of which 7,487 of mankind. So many, many promises. You know, God is a promise keeper. When He said, I will deliver you, He will definitely deliver you. I'm your savior, I'm your deliverer. He's your deliverer. So why David, in his Psalms, there's many Psalms, in the 70s, around 70 Psalms is written by David. Many Psalms written by David said, Oh Lord, you are my deliverer. Oh Lord, you are my deliverer. God promised to His people. He is the deliverer. I like this song very much. You are a way maker, miracle worker. How can, do you know how to sing this song? Okay, you see it. Way maker, miracle worker. My God, this is who you are. This is who you are. So amazing. So every time I sing this song, oh, it reminds me. There's more than 8,000, really 9,000 promises in the Bible. And every promise He keeps. Every promise He keeps. So, God, that is who you are. You touch every heart, you heal every heart, you turn the lives of others. So that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is His promise. So I just encourage every one of us, you know, every time, every morning, every worship, call upon the Lord. And He will heal you. He will heal you and He will deliver us. Next time, deliverance. And deliverance to those who love and trust Him. I may not have enough time to go through this. I hope you understand the story, you know. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, at that time, maybe cut it very short, okay? At that time, Israel were captive, you know, lost his country, is that how to say? Mongol. Yeah, under Babylon, okay, captives under Babylon. And at that time the king is King Nebuchadnezzar. Is it? Nebuchadnezzar. They broke out by sound. Nebuchadnezzar set up a big, huge golden and said to the people, whenever there's a music, every one of us has to bow down. And Joseph is going.
My uncle.
Okay, he has now this degree and order. And when Joseph came out, three men stand. Everyone is on their knees. This three men is there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are the Israelites. They are the Israelite people. Then Nebuchadnezzar was very angry. How come? Then he called these three guys, come before him, and said, okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't you know that I can kill you? Don't you know that no God can save you? Okay, next time when you hear the music, you have to bow down. But what the three friends said? Nebuchadnezzar said, if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of the boiling fire. And then the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, if it be so, our God, all his son, is able to deliver us from the furnace of boiling fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Then he said, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the gold image that you have set. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are so brave. He said, I will not obey your decree. You will cast me in the furnace, okay. Let it be so. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, this is so good. In Chinese, you know, he trusts God, but he would not say, Lord, you must save me from the furnace. He said, even you throw me into the furnace. Okay, let it be. God will save me. God will deliver me. Even if it not. In Chinese, it's so good. Take me, you see. Take my money. What do we want? I'm talking about Chinese. This Cantonese is so good. You know, this Cantonese, okay? It's so good. Take me, you see. Take my money. Then the story is the three persons are thrown into the burning furnace. But what happened? King Nebuchadnezzar amazed and said, how come we throw three bound people into the furnace? But I saw four unbound persons walking in the fire, and one of them, the fourth one, is like the Son of God. And then he came out. He called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They came out of the fire. They are not hurt at all. They are not burned. Their clothes are not damaged. There's no smell of fire. The fire has no effect on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, this is so amazing. You know, so touched my heart. These three persons are so trustworthy. He trusts not to deliver them. And he said, even my God does not save me from the furnace. I will not worship him. In the end, God really delivered them. Though still in the furnace, but still delivered them. They are not burned. They are all good. Okay. So deliverance is for those who love and trust God. I really want our time. Okay, jump to the conclusion. The last three slides. So what should we do? What should we do? What should I respond? I want three S. Three S. I hope you understand. One S is stand firm. Okay, stand firm. We are treasured possession of God. We are the holy nation. We are the royal priests. This is our identity. This is our being. And most important, we are children of God. I am a child of God. You know, this is so heavy in my heart this morning. you know, my sister sent me encouragement this morning, and he said, you are not only the servant, you are not only the messenger of God, you are a child of God. And I said, yes, this is the core message I want to bring up this morning. We are a child of God.
Amen.
You know, how to say this one?
It was very inspiring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it not inspiring?